Everybody ready? Oh, I just, they'll hear me. I don't need it. I'd like to call the January 26 special meeting for the Atascadero Redevelopment Agency to order. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Board Member Bayrou?
Here.
Board Member O'Malley?
Here.
Board Member Fonzie?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Kelly?
Here.
All present.
Could I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Board Member Bayrou?
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
This is the time for the community forum. If anybody would like to address the city council on any item that is not on the agenda tonight, you're welcome to come up to the podium, and you have 3 minutes to tell us what you're interested in.
Just for
actually, it's the redevelopment board.
Redevelopment board. Okay. Okay. If there's no one interested in that, we'll close that portion. The next item is the consent calendar. There's four items on the consent calendar: the Community Redevelopment Agency draft special meeting minutes for November the 24th, for December the 8th, and the third item is the downtown streetscape phase 2B change order approval. Is there anyone on the redevelopment agency that would like to pull an item, or anybody in the public? If not, I'll look for a motion to approve the consent calendar.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Bayrou?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
The next item is a management report, proposed local business stimulus program for restaurants. Staff?
Good evening, Chairman and members of the board. We're pleased tonight to present to you, let me turn this on real quick, the third phase in the local economic stimulus program that you approved back in March. And tonight we'll be discussing a program that promotes our restaurants. So your number one priority has been to grow the city's economy and grow business. And you've been committed to that through a stimulus program that you passed early on to promote local work with contractors and move capital projects forward. Further, you had the stimulus program for downtown, where you implemented facade programs and paint and exterior improvements, and several businesses have taken that up. You issued a program in the agency where the first $1,000 of a building permit were paid for retail expansion or creation, and so you've definitely demonstrated that. Tonight's program, as I said, is aimed at restaurants and educating restaurants and operations and finance and promoting them. If the program is approved, it would be encouraging residents to eat in the city. And we've heard Councilman Clay several times even suggest that people need to eat first in Atascadero as they're out getting gas, going to movie, restaurants, wherever they're headed. We want to retain the restaurants we do have. Of course, we want to encourage restaurants and grow business, but we also want to keep the businesses we have. We want potential incentives for our residents to eat locally, and so this program will recommend some. And we also want to have potential positive changes or enhancements to our restaurants' operations. The places we like now, if there's ways they can even do things better, that make them more profitable, more menu options, et cetera, if we can offer that, we want to be able to do so. And so these are some of the things that community might see if the program is effective. We do have several partners in the program we're asking tonight, participating restaurants. And so restaurants will actively need to be part of this program for it to be successful. And I'll talk about how that is. This is not a program where the redevelopment agency is going to put something out there and people take. We all need to work together. And so if the program is approved, your role really is you're creating a program that serves as a facilitator and brings parties together with members of the community, the Chamber of Commerce, and Main Street. So how does the program work? There are several components to the program, as I suggested, and we want to make sure they have immediate impacts. The program will be focusing on the operations of restaurants, really how they handle their books, their customers, their employees, tips to make that more efficient, looking at the finances if they need small business loans or gap loans during these times or want to expand and trying to access new capital. We want to provide resources for them to do that. We want to make sure we're promoting, again, the Eat in Atascadero message and making sure people know what restaurants we have. And we also want to provide connections of our restaurants to community groups and people who do go out to eat. So we talked about participation being our first point here. And that will be important for the restaurants to do so. And these are four of the first things we think we'll be introducing tonight. The first is in February, we foresee an introductory meeting. We want to bring all of the restaurant owners together to ask them, show them this program if you approve it. This is conceptual. Take it to the restaurant owners and suggest these items and see if they also believe this is worth their time and will work for them and if there's any additional input within our time and financial resources. And so that's really the first key step. And the restaurants really need to be part of that discussion to make sure this is something that's going to work for them. Also at that meeting, we'll be asking participating restaurants to produce gift cards for the program for an incentive. One of the things, the Chamber of Commerce every month provides business visits. And one of our business visits was to restaurants. And we heard from several of the restaurants that gift card promotions for silent auctions or spend a certain amount and get a gift card actually really work well for a restaurant. A $50 gift card costs a restaurant, depending on their cost structure, anywhere from $15 to $20 in actual food costs, but often someone will spend far more than that. And so the use of that gift card is still profitable, especially if it's a new customer or someone brings new people to the restaurant. And so what we'd be asking is for the restaurants who are participating in this to provide gift cards as part of a promotion that we'll mention later. And we believe they'd be happy to do so because that is a very efficient form of marketing. At that meeting, once we create a game plan or we agree on the game plan we're discussing this evening, then we'd want to put on a best practices forum. And several of our restaurants in town are doing very well. And they have a very unique mix of food, clientele, the way they promote themselves, or whether that's attaching to wineries or an existing client base or offering a niche type of food, keeping it smaller so there's steady finances. We want to bring in some of these restaurants. I've asked a few if they would be interested in presenting and talking, and they are interested in that. And so in this discussion, it seems that restaurants are competitive to a point. We don't eat the same type of food every time we go out. We like the variety, and we like different flavors and different things. And so in this philosophy, a rising tide would lift all boats by putting all the restaurants together to share and brainstorm their ideas of what's working well. There was discussion at your last meeting in the CDBG context about the SBDC, the Small Business Development Council. And remember, I shared with you that we have an ongoing relationship with them. And that they're a group we do work with. And I've talked to Ms. Howerton several times since that meeting, and it was clear that the council was interested in putting some funding towards those efforts, and there is a leverage there, as we discussed. And so one of the ways we're looking at doing that is including the SBDC in this program. Exactly what they do is provide business coaching and business advice. And so relatively, we want the SBDC to come in with some successful restaurant owners and entrepreneurs who have done well, and also some coaches or business people who can give advice to our restaurants specifically for our community. And so a third session would focus on the SBDC bringing in their resources, providing one-on-one coaching, and a larger workshop of how to operate a restaurant. Further, we want to make sure at that forum that we would be giving tips on loans and financing. In listening to some of our restaurant owners, they're not aware of some of the programs out there that banks provide and the federal government provides for loans that really can help expand or get you through tougher times. Our next program involves promotion. And this is in three ideas we're looking at. The first is in social networking. Social networking really is taking over the world. We're really connected through the internet in ways that I think we're still just figuring out. And there are several Atascadero residents that utilize, in particular, the Facebook web pages and some of those sorts of things. There are groups on Facebook, residents of Atascadero, Atascadero Friends, that sort of thing. And so as you reach out and befriend those groups, and we create the infrastructure where the restaurants can say, ribs tomorrow, half off. And so if you're part of that group, you get an email on your BlackBerry or your phone that says that. That's a direct marketing that was free. And so we want to work with our restaurants to understand some of those types of options that are really, really working well for other private sector companies. We're looking at, depending on the resources we have, we realize there are very limited resources for this, and so we've tried to focus on high-impact items that are low-cost that can be rolled out quickly. That really has been the philosophy in putting this together, is creation of a central, kind of like Visit Atascadero, but Dine Atascadero, a central website that shows all of the restaurants that are participating, their phone numbers, the type of food they have, and a small place where restaurants can put their menus up, et cetera. Many of our restaurants don't have a website. They don't have the resources to do that, and so this will be a central place where if someone's thinking, hey, let's have Mexican tonight or Italian, they can go on to Dine Atascadero and see exactly what we offer and see the phone number for the restaurant. restaurant, maybe some shots of the restaurant. And then one of the things we learned when we were out was that some of our restaurants have very, very successful evenings when they do a fundraiser for the cheerleading team or the soccer team or the Kiwanis night at one of the restaurants. And that brings in a dedicated group of people, and then the restaurants produce a portion of the proceeds from that evening to that service group or that nonprofit. Those bring in many people who may have never been into the restaurant, generate a good profit for the restaurant, and even with the restaurant returning some of those proceeds, they're still ahead for the night, particularly when they do this on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, which are slower nights in restaurants. And so what we would be proposing here is that we put together a list of all the nonprofits and all the restaurants who want to participate in this and try and connect them to each other so that the immediate connection is such that then these restaurants know who to reach and how to get to the groups. Some of the groups may not know how to reach restaurants or who wants to participate, and if restaurants don't have school-aged children or other connects to the community, they wouldn't know where to start. And so hopefully this will help them. And finally, we'd be looking at a Dine Atascadero month or period, and this is something we want to work with the Chamber of Commerce and Steve Martin on. Those groups are, that's what they do, marketing and promotion. The Redevelopment Agency doesn't necessarily do that, but again, we want to bring people to the table that know how to do that. The bulk of the money in the staff report would be for traditional promotions, for sending out things to people or an ad in the paper or a radio ad to announce the month. That's the bulk of how that money will be spent, if that might be a question to some. And then the incentive is we want to look at these two things. One, we heard some of the, you know, there are cards, sometimes discount cards, community discount cards, or things you see floating around that if you present this card, you can save blank percent. Some of the money we're suggesting may be used to purchase such cards that we would produce with the participating restaurant partners. Some restaurants don't want to be part of that. Others find that works very well for them. And so that is something that some of our participants may not want to do. And so we may use both of these alternatives I'm discussing tonight or one. This is the kind of feedback we want to talk to the restaurants about to make sure every program we're using works. And so that would be the incentive card. The other would be using receipts or a card that you'd punch if you spent $10 at 10 restaurants that totaled at least $100 or brought in $100 worth of receipts if we didn't want to go the card route and to City Hall. You would be able to turn those in and then draw out of a box a gift card. And these would be the gift cards that all the participants had contributed. And the first 100 people who bring in their receipts or their cards would get a gift card ranging anywhere from $10 to $50 to a restaurant. And so that would be a no-cost item to the agency, but we believe might be an incentive that we would promote to get people to eat out and save their receipts. So again, the timeline, we want to put the forums together for February and kick this off next month. We believe the bulk of the promotion, the workshops we would have in March, and the bulk of the promotion of the other items would run from March through May, which we start picking up with travel and tourism in May. So we really want to try and fill that gap to try and help our restaurants through to the summer. And again, as I'd mentioned, we're looking at $4,000 in redevelopment agency funds that were designated for Office of Economic Development efforts in the budget. And we believe this is consistent with the council's direction and what the Office of Economic Development's been doing. And so that would conclude the staff report. Thank you.
Fine, are there any, Roberta?
Yes, it sounds like a very interesting program. Thank you for preparing that. A couple of questions. Your definition of restaurants might come into play. Does this mean donut stores and Quiznos and McDonald's and fast food, or is it just sit-down restaurants that you're having participate?
That's a really good question. I think we really haven't thought that out totally. That might be worth discussion this evening to see what the council's feeling is in that regard. I think our goal is just to try and lift up all of our restaurants, but that's a good point. A donut shop, a coffee shop, do those count? I'd be interested in feedback from the agency board.
Very good. And I was wondering how you were going to invite those to your first meeting in February that you talked about getting the businesses together and brainstorming, which sounds like a great idea because they have other ideas that we may not have thought of. But I'm wondering, how do you get the word out to them?
So our initial idea is to use, hopefully all of our restaurants that sell food and coffee, et cetera, have business licenses. And so we have a directory of all eateries in the community. And so we would be sending a letter and a follow-up call to these groups, explaining this program to them and encouraging their participation. And honestly, one of the things to be a benefactor of the Ultimate Card and some of the radio promotions that we might eventually do, where we really believe it's important to have each restaurant attend at least one or two of the workshops so there's some investment from them and provide a gift card. And so, as we all know, if you put a little something in, you will get much more out of it as opposed to just having something that's hanging out there that's free.
Very good. And one last question regarding getting the word out to the public. You talked about social networking, which I think works very well for a certain age group, but we have quite a number of seniors, and some of them don't necessarily use the internet. So I'm wondering, is there a percentage that you're using for ads or other media?
I'm really glad that you recently hired a marketing professional to help us with this. So he's become an expert in this area, and we'll be relying on him for that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Jerry?
I'm totally supportive of this to start with, but there's no saying when things are good, you must advertise or use your imagination, and when things are bad, you have to advertise and use your imagination. I think this is really good. My son is out at the golf course, and when things aren't doing good, I always tell him, hey, use your imagination, you know, try to create things, and he's pretty good at it. So I support this totally, and I was wondering how many restaurants do you think will participate?
We would hope to have at least 15.
15.
Is kind of what we're shooting for.
Right, right. And, you know, while I got the mic, I think I'm very supportive of let's eat local, and as far as that goes, let's buy local whenever we can buy what we need here. And I've said this many times, a lot of people work out of town. They go to the movies out of town. Unfortunately, we don't have a movie theater yet, and they shop out of town. So once you get in that car, come on back to Atascadero, and let's eat in Atascadero. And believe me, there's plenty of restaurants, and if you ate at them all, you're going to be fatter and a little butterball. So that's my message.
Ellen?
Jim, I appreciate the time and energy you guys have put into this already. Do you also see, as you meet with the restaurants, that new ideas might come up and things will kind of evolve? Because it sounds like you've done a lot of thinking, but are you expecting that?
We really hope that, and that's the purpose of the first workshop. Something may come out that isn't really quite this. We wanted to come to the board before so you knew staff was spending some energy and a bit of financial resource. We just wanted to check with the board. We may have several great ideas come out of that first meeting that then reorient this, and if it's that far off, we'd come back to you.
Okay. And in response to, you know, what is considered a restaurant, I think we should make it fairly broad because I think you'll have more ideas. The more people you bring in, the more ideas you have. And, you know, I'm sure it's not just restaurants. I'm sure it's the donut shops, the coffee shops. Everyone's kind of cutting back, and so they're not frequenting as much as they used to. So I would be supportive of broader versus narrower.
Tom?
Thank you. And I mentioned this on KPRL today, and there was actually a lot of support for this idea, and I understand we're going to seek input from the business community first. I think that's very important. I was wondering if you would be looking at including any catering options as well. We do have our new Chef Charlie is relocated, actually has a outlet here in town. And I was bragging about our own catering staff at the Pavilion. When folks schedule something at the Pavilion, I had the best steak I ever had the other night at the Chamber event, catered by our own caterer at the Pavilion. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Tom, you actually had two. You ate your wife's.
I did. I admit it. It was very good.
If there's no more, okay.
One more question. I just want to make it clear to the public. This is not just the downtown or just the area within the redevelopment district. This is applying to all of our city, correct?
We're going to be working on that. Our goal is to include the whole city because these are redevelopment dollars, and the dollars can only be spent in the redevelopment area. But we understand if we're doing general promotions that may cover the city, but the area is a predominant part of that. That's where our friend Mr. Pirick here is going to work with me on some of those details.
Thank you.
I'll find if there's no other questions from the council. Is there anyone in the public that would like to make a comment or ask any questions about this program? If not, I'll close the public comment and bring it back to the council for discussion. I would just like to say that I went on several of the business meetings last year that were conducted by the Chamber of Commerce, and we had several of the restaurants that were very interested in this, and they didn't make statements about, two dinners for the price of one. A couple of the restaurants felt that was almost what kept them alive in these difficult times. So I would like to commend Jim for so far putting a great program together. And coming from the city council, I mean, we're here to help people, and I think this is just another example that the city council is here to give back to the community and help, and we wish for the support of everybody on this program.
Do we need a motion on this? Or
I don't think so.
I believe we do.
We are asking that you approve this program, and just for clarification, it seems that the board wants this to be a broad program, and what I heard is all anyone serving food. The catering thing, is it anyone who serves food for a fee, or do you want to have a public room where you actually eat at that establishment? And so a donut shop, a coffee place where you can actually sit and eat, as opposed to a person home who has a catering operation where they don't have a dining room. Is that a differential that you might want to provide to staff, or
let's leave
is
it
if you're selling food, you are eligible?
Tom, why don't you explain why you are suggesting catering? I'm not sure that I'm clear on your rationale.
Well, and it may well fit under the definition that Jim is suggesting, because two folks come to mind. We have a catering organization that has contract at the Lake Pavilion. They do events there along with our pavilion, and if someone books something at the pavilion, they use that caterer, and it is the location. I think of Chef Charlie that primarily does catering. He does have an office location and is looking at perhaps doing some specialized meals out of that location. So again, it would be a someone that has a location that folks can come to. So I would leave, maybe we can hear back from staff.
I'm okay
giving staff that discretion.
Option. Yeah.
I think where you're going with this, if I'm understanding you, you want them to be on the list that would participate in the community groups, not necessarily put out the coupons or do those kind of things.
Yeah. That would make sense. If you've got a place you can come to, yeah. But I think they may well have some good ideas on marketing, definitely, promotion, and it benefits everyone in our community.
So we'll send out to everyone that has some retail food component and see who responds, and we'll just see if something sorts itself out. I did just want to add one other thing, and I appreciate Chairman Kelly's remarks, but this program really, Joanne Main and Steve Martin and the Office of Economic Development, Warren Frace and others have really put time into putting this together. I just have the privilege of sharing the report. Thank you.
With that, I'd like to move that we support the a proposal to for stimulation of the restroom program up to $4,000.
I'll second.
Discussion? I'd just like to put one little thing, and it won't go into the motion, but I want to see if we can get some advertising out there that might entice those from other cities to come to our city as well, not just limit it to Atascadero.
Good idea.
Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Bayrou?
Yes.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Do we have any board announcements and or reports? If not, I'll adjourn the redevelopment meeting and turn it over to the mayor for the city council meeting.
Very good. Let's go ahead and just one moment. I'm not quite there. Okay, I get to lead you in the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's rise and pledge to the flag. And I'd like to ask your forgiveness if I seem a little flustered tonight. I'm very happy to announce that we have coffee out there in the lobby, that Malibu Brew has risen to the occasion. I put a request out for a business to volunteer their services. In other words, they're not getting paid to provide us with coffee. And Malibu Brew has risen to the occasion. So I would advise you that there is coffee out there, and if you have a chance to go buy Malibu Brew and buy something from them, please do, and thank them for the coffee. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Here.
Mayor Fonzie?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. And now we come to approval of the agenda, and the city attorney has something he would like to add, I understand.
Yes, that's correct, Madam Mayor.
We have a subsequent need item to add, and that would be a closed session for pending litigation. The name of the lawsuit is Sousa Construction versus the City of Atascadero. It's case number LC098959. We have had some settlement negotiations with the Sousa company, and there's been developments in that this afternoon, so that arose after your agenda was posted. And there is a need for immediate action because the proposal is going to expire tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So we'll need to have a closed session this evening. And my recommendation is that you complete your regular items and put the closed session at the end of the meeting.
Thank you.
You need to take a vote. When you're, if you're going to approve the agenda, you would approve it with this addition. And it requires a four-fifths vote to add this item to your agenda.
Very good. With that, is there anybody who would like to make a motion to approve the agenda with the amendment regarding closed session?
So move.
Councilmember Barreau, second?
I'll second.
Second, Councilmember Kelly. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Barreau?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you, Marcia. And we'll move on to the consent calendar. Is there any council member that would like to pull an item on the consent calendar or approve?
On item four, I just have a question as well.
Okay, let's pull item four and let's open it to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to pull a consent calendar item? Seeing none, I'll close the public comment and let's go ahead with your question okay. Regarding number four.
I should have asked this before, but is that the strip of property with the little walkway and the oak trees around it right by the crossing?
It's on the other side of the fence from there, yes. It's right. It's that piece of property, not against traffic way.
Oh, not against traffic way, I see.
It's the narrow one.
So it's on the other side
it's
of the...
Yeah, it's that narrow one where the trail was.
Okay, on the other side of the railroad tracks?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Councilmember Clay, did you want to go ahead and pull that and we'll have a staff report on that, or are you satisfied? Do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Clay, second by Councilmember Barreau. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Excuse me. Councilmember Barreau?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And updates from the city manager.
Mayor and council, thank you. I have several updates for you this evening. First, I wanted to, and you may hear about this again during community forum from Steve Martin, I wanted to congratulate Steve Martin and all of us, really. Steve Martin, on behalf of Main Street, applied for a collaborative grant for tourism development through the United Way. Somewhere around $200,000 of in-kind services that provide us a professional facilitators that will combine or help all of our agencies, Historical Society, the City, Redevelopment, Main Street, Chamber of Commerce, all the many tourism-related agencies in the city to come up with ways that we can leverage all of our resources to implement the tourism marketing plan that was developed a couple of years ago now by the City Council with Carl Roboto. Second thing, I'm less thrilled to report, we continue to have a struggle with the Historic City Hall project. And as we have been developing or refining our bids and the construction project, for the first bid that we hope to do, we actually hoped to do at tonight's meeting, we hope it'll come in the next couple of months, which is the deconstruction portion and the construction management portion of the contracts. And then later in the summer would be the complete reconstruction. As we have refined our construction documents, that cost has now grown to more than $40 million. It was originally, as you know, $30 million, of which about $27 million is funded by FEMA. We had originally anticipated the Redevelopment Agency funding about $8.5 million. That's now grown to about $13 million. So we're currently working with the architects and engineers to refine those numbers, make sure that we are comfortable with those. There's, a basic uneasiness for us in that it seems as construction costs and construction itself continues to go down and our costs continue to go up. We recognize we have historic structure and there'll be some different kinds of costs, but we're struggling with that issue of trying to keep those costs down and keep it in a place that could be funded and keeping FEMA and OES, the Office of Emergency Services, on board. So it could be a bigger impact to the city and the redevelopment agency. Before we spend a first dollar, we want to have a way through this, and it's why we've delayed it from your agenda. So we'll continue to wrestle with these and bring these back to you. On the third front, on Walmart, there has been a change in the development team. Bob Winslow, who has led the project for across from Sunken Gardens, we look forward to that project. The developers on that project are completing their required studies, those on traffic and on parking for the downtown area, and we anticipate getting some information back for them, and likewise, we're ready to process that project just as soon as it comes in.
Very good. Any questions for the city manager?
Wait, so what you're saying is we have committed $35 million. And we are short five. Is that basically what you're saying for the old City Hall, the Veterans Memorial Building?
Yeah, in those numbers that you looked at some months ago in a workshop mm-hmm. setting, we were about 35, and we need about, actually, we were a little less than 35. We were more like 30. Some of that is captured by FEMA and OES, some of that by the Redevelopment Agency. So five would be the increased cost, or 4.5 is the increased cost we expect to the redevelopment agency.
Okay.
Not on the project. Not,
total of 40,
not,
though. Huh? A total of 40, though, is what you're
total
saying.
Total of over 40, yeah.
Right now, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And it is now time for community forum. If there is anyone who would like to speak to the council about anything that is not on the agenda tonight, please approach the podium.
Hello, I'm Pastor Tom Farrell from Atascadero Bible Church, representing the Ministerial Association. And I'd like to just commend the staff. Is this on?
No.
You can hear me? Okay. I'd just like to commend the staff. Great work on the restaurant, the business, the promoting of that. We appreciate that a lot. And the City Council's stance as well to support the local businesses is very encouraging. Before I pray, I just want to mention that with the disaster in Haiti, it's been great to see our local medical professionals step up as well. There's a trip planned for February 1st, leaving out of Miami, for our local medical professionals, including Warren Frankel and the organization that he leads, His Healing Hands, that has led many medical teams, and Bill Simon, some others, as well as some of our paramedics and medical professionals that are going to go to Haiti for a week. And so I'd like to focus even our prayer this evening on them and for that relief. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this community that we can see some of our own local professionals donate their time selflessly to go as well. Lord, we'd ask that you'd open the door. Lord, we know they have transportation to get there. They have the jet to get there, but just the logistics of even landing at the airport can be problematic, and the supplies that they need as well to get in. So we just ask that you'd make a way for them as they've already assembled a great team to go there. And so we commit that to you as well. And we commit this evening to you, Lord. We just ask for wisdom for each of the decisions that are made. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tom.
Brenda Ernst, Atascadero. Good evening, Mayor Fonzie, council members. I'm here this evening representing the Friends of the Library, and I'd like to invite you to a very exciting event that we have planned for mid-March. Okay. And we're calling it Dancing with Our Stars. We're fortunate to have 10 fabulous and famous local people that will be, in effect, competing with each other to raise money for the library expansion. You may know some of these famous people. There are two in the audience right now. One is trying to hide. No, he's not. Jim Lewis, of course, is in the back row. Next to him, Giovanni Komen, who owns a seafood business. Judy Magana-Salaya, Jim Patterson, 5th District Supervisor. Tina Weisong, Dan Davis. And in the front row, Debbie Lewis, Molly Komen, Barbie Boots, Joanne Main, who's also here this evening, and Miguel Figueroa and Sharon Davis. Not pictured are dancers Jay DeCoo, EJ, and Tracy Rossi, and Keith Schmidt. And we've gotten a little ahead of myself here. The event will be March 13th at the Pavilion. Tickets are $55 a person or $400 for a table of eight. If you'd like to reserve a table, you can do so and have up to a week to pull the money together, and we'll hold the table for you. I don't have tickets with me this evening, but tickets are available at the library, or you can phone 674-1140. The appetizers are being provided by Pacific Catering, Pacific Harvest, Bottom Corner, Jim and Debbie Lewis. What a pair. And then on the right of them, Jim Patterson and Judy Magana-Salaya, who are going to be doing a tap dance. Now, the way this works is that you vote for your favorite dancer by donating to their cause. Jim has one of the donation boxes in front of him. Each vote before the event will be done in increments of $5, and at the time of the event, the votes will be in increments of $10. So you're free to vote ahead of time as often as you wish and from as many people as you wish. Next, we have our dance instructors, Dan and Sharon Davis. We have Jay DeCoo getting ready to dance, and the lovely Tina Weisong. In the bottom left corner is the high school principal, E.J. Rossi. And then Joanne and Miguel are going to be doing the rumba. We can hardly wait to see that. Oh, Keith Schmidt is on the right. He not only bicycles, he apparently dances, and he's intent on dancing even though he's recovering from arthroscopic surgery. So good for him. We think this is going to be a lot of fun. They're having fun already, and we're having fun planning this. So we hope that you will join us. We would love to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you, Granda. Looks like fun.
I just have a question. Why isn't Tom O'Malley and Bob Kelly in that group? That's what I want to know.
You know, we begged them. We just begged them, but they said something about their knees. I don't know.
Well, Tom and I would make, we'd make did a dance great at couple. The St.
Patrick's Day party, so you will have an opportunity to see that again this year, I think. And it's well worth whatever it may cost. Oh,
man, we got to see that again.
Good evening. My name is Mitch Paskin. I live in on San Marcos Road in Atascadero. And I'm still here about Oak Ridge Estates and a road from the development out to Highway 41. And now that Thanksgiving is over and Christmas is over and New Year's is over, my knee surgery is over, I'd like to raise the issue again. One of the things that happened originally with the project was they did an EIR, and they did that was accepted in the city in 1995, section of Los Altos Road and Highway 41, and that the Los Altos Road should be upgraded when the traffic volume on Los Altos Road reaches 500 average daily trips, and you'd get an average daily trip by putting the strips across the road, and it counts the number of cars. This was just done on Morrow Road not too long ago. It also talked about improvements to the intersection where Los Altos Road, by the way, Los Altos Road, for those on the watching on the web and the cable lurkers and the people in the audience, if you drive around 4 miles outside of the city toward Morro Bay on 41. You'll see Los Altos Road. If you turn right, if you go to the top of that road, you'll find San Marcos Road. If you go turn left and go out around 3/4 of a mile, you're going to find, or a mile, you're going to find Oak Ridge Estates. And that's the area that I'm concerned about. Things that are supposed to be done, they're both stated in both the EIR and for PD-11 that that intersection should be updated with left turn lanes, right turn lanes, new striping. Up to this point, none of that's been done. And there's three criteria of 500 daily trips is one of them. Another one is the development of 27 lots in phase one. The third criteria deals with what is the third criteria? The third criteria is 3 years after the issuance of the first permit. And there's another memo that I'm going to talk about next time in the first meeting in February that's going to talk about why this hasn't been done. This is a memo dated in 2007. So that's my 3 minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Paskin.
Good evening. I'm Steve Martin, and I just wanted to piggyback on some of the comments made by the city manager. United Way in this county has staged a pretty large effort to get collaborative projects going. And we in Atascadero are fortunate to receive one of two in-kind grants for the use of professional facilitators to bring multiple groups together in one collaborative project. And the people who judged these grants felt that ours was a very worthy project. In fact, they said they liked it a lot. And the result of that is that we will have 8 meetings with these facilitators and representatives from 6 local organizations. And those organizations include the City of Atascadero, Chamber of Commerce, Atascadero on promoting its tourism plan, and also making the most that we can of the assets we have to dedicate to that plan. So we're going to get the biggest bang for our buck on this.
Question.
Go ahead.
And the amount of the grant was?
Well, the grant is an in-kind grant. It covers the cost of the facilitators, and we have just a sliver of the overall program that's going on with United Way. So the actual cost of the facilitators is what we get, and I don't have that total at the tip of my tongue right now.
And what was the $200,000 grant?
$200,000 is the overall program. That's not going to be – we don't get $200,000 worth of services. We just get a portion of the effort that United Way is putting forth.
Thank you, Steve.
And, Steve, when will this next one be held that officially starts?
The next two meetings will be in February, and then we haven't set the meetings after that yet. So I can get
So you will be back and announce it for those who choose to come.
Absolutely. I'll get you that information.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Bruce Bevins. I live on Rialto Avenue in Atascadero. And I'm here to make an announcement, actually, but as an aside before that, it came to mind after hearing the RDA discussion. I believe Mayor Fonzie brought up the issue of trying to communicate with the seniors in our community who might not be web educated. But I find myself as a grandparent, I've recently been lobbied heavily by the parents of our grandchildren to get on Facebook. And I would imagine that that's probably true for quite a number of other grandparents in the community. And so a Facebook presence would be a real good idea. I think we could all put it on our Facebook pages as we like and so on and help get the word around. The announcement has to do with actually the two young people that came from, well, one is an Atascadero resident, Kayla Clark, and the other is a Cal Poly student, Michael Sims, who are returning from the Copenhagen Climate Change Summit. And there will be an opportunity on Wednesday, February 10th, at the Lake Park Pavilion to hear what they have to say about what they witnessed there. Before they actually speak, there will be a presentation from Dr. Ray Wyman, who is an Atascadero resident. Some of you may be familiar with him. He's spoken here before. He's a retired astrophysicist, and he's going to make a non-technical summary of climate science and what is being discovered and what its significance is. He does a real good job of presenting that.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Michael Teixeira, and yesterday in the Telegram Tribune there was an article about the possibility of a series of storms continuing to hit Southern California. and it got me to thinking about disaster planning. I was working in downtown Los Angeles when the Northridge earthquake hit, and I found that I was ill-prepared for the event. And I know the city has a plan. One of the things that we found out during a Northridge earthquake, that there was not an accounting for our first responders' families to see that they were okay. And there's fairly strong evidence that the Los Angeles police officer that was killed, Clarence Wayne Dean, was out to check on his family and was on his way back down to the city when he died. So I would ask that in your disaster plan, you make sure that there's an accounting for that. Also, as individuals, we all have some stake in being prepared for disaster. The current wisdom is that we prepare for 3 days without assistance. Well, today is the 14th day anniversary of the earthquake in Haiti, and there are still people who have not received governmental assistance. Well, many will say, well, Haiti is a third world country, and you can't really expect them, you can't expect California to have the same analogy. And I would say that Haiti might be better prepared for that kind of a disaster because they're used to their government not working. You know, they're used to not having electricity, and our government works well. Now, I know we have some budget issues in Sacramento. I'm not talking about that. But our government on a day-to-day basis works very well. I would recommend that we all review our personal plans for a disaster because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when thing. And instead of preparing for 3 days, I would prepare for 2 weeks. A gallon of water a day for each person in your family, so that's 14 gallons of water per person. That's something to keep in mind. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Teixeira.
Madam Mayor, City Council members, my name is Frank Rimkus. I'm with Galaxy Theaters, Sherman Oaks, California. Just wanted to stop by and say hello, give you maybe a little progress report, how things are going with the theater and the Atascadero. This phase, I've really been up here the last couple of days, really more on a fact-finding and listening trip. We're at the point now where design and construction's coming along. It's now time for us to try to understand the community. And so what we like to do is spend time and really meet with a lot of people and just really community. So I've had a great opportunity to meet with some good people today. Joanne Main, Steve Martin, Don
Heidler.
Joanne, Clickard. Where are you?
Don Clickard.
Don Clickard, thank you. Yeah. Don Clickard. Also with Jim Lewis and some of the other merchants. We're putting together kind of a list, and I will be up here again to meet and introduce ourselves. I think it's important that we show respect, and so we'll figure out the best way to do that. But appreciate the time, and we're genuinely excited to be here. Things are starting to heat up, and so while we may be a little invisible, we are definitely here. So appreciate the time. If you'll forgive me, I don't mean to be disrespectful to all of you here, but I have one more meeting tonight. So if you'll forgive me, I'm going to leave.
One quick question. Yeah. Go ahead.
I know we're in one of these rainy years, and what's your projections on when you're going to have your first day opened?
The question is, how do I feel about committing suicide right here before all of you? Seriously, a date is impossible, as you can imagine, to project. But
how about a month?
We're still looking at the end of the year. If one can tell us what the weather's going to do, that's going to be the problematic. Sure. With a theater, the rain does – once the building, the walls are up and the roof is on, rain, weather doesn't matter. But until then, it does. Right now, I know that the progress has been delayed because of the rain. There's some concrete out there, and the good news for those in the concrete business is the water on concrete helps it cure even stronger. So we're going to have one great slab when this rain subsides. But I think realistically we're looking towards the end of the year. If I had to say a month, right now what we're hearing is October.
Okay. By the way, you donated to the chamber in regards to, 52 weeks of...
Right,
and it brought $1,000. I thought that was pretty
was
good, and thank you.
That.
Right.
Yes.
We appreciate being a part of that, and I think as a comment I heard made, That donation was a true matter of trust, passes for something that doesn't exist yet.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate the update. Is there anyone else that would like to speak tonight? Last call. I'm closing public comment and bringing it back to the council.
That project shapes up. So Public Works is researching all the files right now, making sure with city attorney that we're all organized, and we will have that to you in March.
Thank you, Mr. McKinney. And one last question, and this was from Mr. Teixeira regarding our ability to contact first responders, families, for accountability's sake.
We do have plans in both departments.
Very good. And I know that our recent emergency response forum and conference back in Maryland helped to address that issue as well.
That's correct.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. We have no public hearings. Our management report for tonight is the city facility signage policy. Go ahead, staff report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the City Council. Tonight, I wanted to discuss with you some of our public facility monument and entry signage. It's come about because we have a project taking place where some of the signage on this project at the Lake Park has come into question about, you know, what it should look like and what it should contain in terms of identification by the city and so forth. Excuse me. So tonight the staff recommendation is that the council review the city's current monument and entry signage program, and I'll walk you through what we have in place now, and then provide staff direction regarding establishing a policy for monument signs on city parks and facilities. The community impact, if you were to adopt such a policy, that would provide some uniformity in the city's signage and would enhance identification and recognition of sort of a brand identity for our public facilities, parks and other facilities. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we do have a rather exciting park improvement project taking place right now. We're completing the design phase, and we're just about ready to put together the bid package for the Lake Park Frontage Improvement Project. And this really goes way back to 2001 when the City Council adopted the park master plan for the Lake Park. A component of that master plan was essentially to clean up and improve the frontage along Highway 41 at Atascadero Lake Park. And I think we all agree that that's been a priority of the City Council. There's funds budgeted for that project now. And on the screen behind me, I'll just kind of show you what that project entails. We start landscaping here. This is the Babe Ruth baseball field right here. And then we have the aerial as well as the ball field and other uses, some of this passive turf here. And then take the pedestrian path all the way along the front of the Lake Park parking lot and take it here and connect to the new entry plaza to the Charles Paddock Zoo. And so as we got into that project, it went to the Parks and Recreation Commission in August of 2009, and the project does contain some new signage for the Lake Park, which I think everybody agrees is very much needed. We don't really have good identification as you drive by the Lake Park or the zoo that it's actually there. The signage is pretty low. It's not very visible. And some of it, frankly, is kind of an eyesore. On the slide here on the screen, we are proposing some new signage. And this new signage is going to be designed so that it's consistent with the Lake Park design guidelines, which are that the Lake Park would follow a craftsman-style sort of architectural treatment. So you can see that the main monument sign for the Lake Park will look something like this. The actual wording and lettering hasn't been worked out, but it would look something like this. You could see it's got river rock treatments here. There would be craftsman-style sort of little roof on it, and this is a side elevation. And it would say Atascadero Lake Park. There'd be a city seal up here, Charles Paddock Zoo, Veterans Memorial, something to that effect. And as I say, the actual wording and lettering hasn't been worked out, but it would very closely resemble that. And by the way, this monument sign would be 10 feet tall, which conforms to the city's sign ordinance. And all of the city signage that we use on our public facilities does conform to the city sign ordinance reviewed by our building department and everything. So all of the city signage conforms to the sign ordinance. But what the sign ordinance doesn't do, it doesn't really get into things like what it's going to look like in terms of aesthetics and things like that. And that's some of what we'll be talking about tonight. Also, we're going to include a new banner holder for the Lake Park. And this is one of those things I think is frankly an eyesore now. I was just over there today looking at it while I was checking the zoo construction. And those poles are literally about ready to fall down. And we've had trouble in the past with people even using T-stakes out there and putting up their own signage. So we want to create an attractive memorial in the background. Artist Mark Greenaway has designed a very attractive sign for the memorial, and it would be a black granite, and it would say Faces of Freedom. There would be a relief. I have a better slide of this, by the way, and we'll look at that in a moment. And there'd be a relief, kind of a statue-type treatment there. And so one of the things that came up when we looked at this is, should it have any sort of identification with the city of Atascadero on that particular sign? So people have asked me, if there wasn't a memorial sign there, if there wasn't a sign there for memorial, what was the city going to put on that corner of 41 and Portola? And so to answer that question, Casey Patterson, who's our landscape architect working on this entire frontage project, originally came up with some concepts like this. We have the river rock here. We'd probably have city seal, say Atascadero Lake Park. Atascadero, in my mind, would probably be much smaller than a lake park. Lettering would be much bigger. It would say Veterans Memorial, Alvord Field, Zoo, so that people, as they're approaching from Highway 101 on 41, they could look and see sort of a welcome sign for the lake park that mentioned the memorial, the Alvord Field, and the zoo. This is what is being proposed by the Veterans Memorial Foundation. They have come up, as I said, with a very nice design that artist Mark Greenaway has come up with. And this is photoshopped of the slide I was showing you earlier with the memorial in the background. And then the sign here on the corner of Portola and 41, you can see we would use the river rock post, and there would be a black granite sign here for the memorial itself. And I hope you can see this relief. There's two figures here of service personnel, and right there on the corner, as you can see. And so one of the questions, the issues that have arisen as we looked into this was, well, should it or should it not have some kind of identifying city logo or some other wording on it for the city? And so some people have said, well, we have other signage like that. And so that's really the policy question that I'd like the council to consider tonight, not just should this one particular sign for the Veterans Memorial. We have some other signs that might inform this discussion around town. We have some city wayfinding signs, and here's a couple of examples. One is a downtown directional sign, and another is a sign, this one on the right here is a sign that's yet to be built and installed, but it would have our service clubs on it, and it would be part of one of the gateway signs into the city off of Highway 101, for example. Here's a couple of examples of monument signs on city facilities that we have now. The sign on the left is for Paloma Creek Park. Obviously, this is a pretty old sign. I don't know how long it's been there. We did have a sign made when we were partners with the state of California, which it was a concrete sign. It had a city logo. It had a state logo. But once we purchased the Paloma Creek Park property from the state, that sign was taken out, and it was more attractive and much, much better in terms of materials than this Paloma Creek Park sign. But you can see it's absent of any city logo or any identification for that park. And for me, I think that's an issue, because Paloma Creek Park, if you remember, wasn't that long ago. It wasn't even in the city limits, and it was state property, and it used to be, in the county. So I think if we were going to have some city facility signs, especially at Paloma, it ought to say City of Atascadero because it is close to our city limits, and I think that would be helpful to inform the public that that particular park is a city facility. This sign on the right is a very nice facility monument sign for the Lake Pavilion. If I were to look at it, with my 2010 eyes today, I would say probably would have been nicer to have the city seal on top of that sign rather than the pavilion logo. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about looking at tonight. Now, here's a more recent sign, Colony Park, and you can see it's got the city logo here. It says Colony Park. It's got the address, and it's the community center complex. Again, here's another sign with both the logo, City of Atascadero, on it. Some people have asked me, why don't we just have one standard city monument design for all? In our new community center does have these same architectural themes and elements in them. It's nice to have the flexibility to be able to have a monument sign like this that reflects the character of that particular location. Now, if you look at the Lake Park, for example, and remember the sign I showed you that we're talking about, the new monument sign there, we have Lake Park design guidelines which call out the Craftsman style design guidelines, and we're able to incorporate the river rock and the other elements of the Craftsman style in that signage at the Lake Park. So that's one of the reasons, in my opinion, that this is nice to have the flexibility, at least as far as some of the architectural treatments of these signs. So getting back to the Veterans Memorial sign for a moment, this was one suggestion. If we wanted to put a city logo on this sign identify it as City of Atascadero, this was something that somebody came up with and suggested. And to me, I think it would be probably more attractive if this was flattened out and you put Atascadero on one side, Lake Park on the other, and brought this all down and had the logo in the middle. Probably would be more to scale, look a little bit more attractive. This is another idea. As you can see, this is the Veterans Memorial rendition of the sign, and here are the posts. One suggestion that we were thinking about, you could make these posts wider and use either a bronze or a concrete city seal and place them, on one side or either side of the memorial like that. Something like that would be very subtle. It could even go on top with a little half circle on top, but something like that might also be worth considering as well. So the staff recommendation is if the city council is interested in identifying the Veterans Memorial signage with city logo or other identification with the city, that we create a policy for all signs for our memorial or for our monument signs and entry signs that follow the same standard. For example, all monument signs for city facilities and parks should contain the City of Atascadero logo as an example. So that way the Paloma Creek Park sign, for example, when we went to replace that, it would follow those guidelines and have the logo.
And myself and Mary Chastain and Tom O'Malley and Leroy Dodge actually started the original committee. And we were so happy when the veterans and the National Guard come forward, and the thing just grew into something that was amazing. And so, I have a great allegiance to the Veteran Memorial. I also have a great allegiance to the City of Atascadero, a place that I've lived here since 1940. So at a minimum, I would like to see the city seal in some respects, on the faces of freedom. I don't care how large the faces of freedom, and they can have it as big as they want. The bigger, the better, in my opinion. And do you have that one with the city logo on top there, Brady? Okay, yeah.
I did want to mention that
The Veterans Foundation has offered to pay for the signage for the memorial and would pay for the black granite signage piece, and then the city would pay for the fencing and the post, the River Rock post adjacent to it.
Yeah. I guess my question would be in regards to that particular rendition you have up there, that the top portion would be better if it was at the same length as the sign itself. And I guess that's my question to you, Brady. Do you agree with that, or...
Well,
or you don't want to get in the middle of this.
My opinion is just from a design standpoint, I'm not opining on whether it should have the logo or not, but from a design standpoint, I do agree that it would be better to widen this out, lower it, and put, City of Atascadero or Atascadero on this side, Lake Park on that side. To me, that looks like a little hat sitting on top of it or something, and I don't think
and it's... And then, Brady, before we ever... had the idea of a Veterans Memorial. The that area there, when we did the master plan, I remember a lot of talk about having that, our visual enhancing that area for, when we're moving into the area of the Lake Park. And do you remember that?
I understand.
Oh, well, other words, that corner was really nothing. It was just dirt before, and when we did the Lake Master Plan, that was important that we enhance that and make it a view shed, moving into the Lake Park.
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Reported on earlier, and I'll try and find that slide, what city staff had envisioned for that corner prior to, anybody thinking about having that sign for the memorial only, was something like this, which was more of a wayfinding type sign that mentioned the memorial, Al Ward Field, and the zoo, and so forth. So, the veterans would like it to be for the memorial, since the memorial's right there.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. Well, my concern is, with any sign, you try to convey too much information, it's not really noticed, and I would want it not to have a cluttered look. And what would help me, and we also have that need of the wayfinding as well, it would help me make a better decision if I knew if we had a little more of a master plan, even for the area, of what signage we're going to have along that whole quarter, because there was at one time discussion to have a entrance sign coming from Morro Bay on Highway 41 that kind of directed folks to Lake Park Zoo Memorial. And if there's other signs in the master plan, in addition to what you've shown here tonight, that would help identify the tourist attributes we have around that area, then we wouldn't need to have so much clutter in on this particular sign or any one sign. Is there any, I think you kind of have the zoo master plan. Would that show all of the proposed signage?
Well, actually, Councilmember O'Malley, this slide probably shows at least the frontage on 41 the best. The signs that are included in this project would be this corner sign that we're talking about now, what it should contain in terms of a message. There will be the large banner holder here that I showed you earlier.
And that'd be for temporary events?
That'd be for temporary events and banners only. And then there would be a large monument sign. The 10-foot sign would be right here as you drive into the Lake Park. It would be a two-sided sign, and it would be this one here. So this would be the major monument sign for the park and the entire Lake Park complex, including the zoo and so forth. And then the only other signs for the Lake Park would include the pavilion sign that I showed you earlier that's on Pismo, sign on Pismo there at that corner.
So Portola Road would be the primary access, of course, to the Veterans Memorial and Al Ward Field, and that sign location would be the only opportunity to direct folks to the memorial and Al Ward Field, for example.
At least on site, that's correct. I mean, you could direct them from the freeway, and we'd like to do that for the zoo as well.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Just a couple from me. As I recall, this was put on the agenda because we had had an economic development study prepared and cost a great deal of money, and one of the things that was brought up was branding. And the city needed to establish itself so that when you looked at the sign, you instantly said, Atascadero. It's just like Coca-Cola or something. You don't need to read it. You know it when you see it. So I think that's really the reason it came up. It was to develop an idea for the entire city, not just the Lake Park, correct?
Correct, and that's why my recommendation would be if we change this memorial sign that we also apply a similar philosophy to all of our other signs.
So if I'm following you, at this point we're not coming up with a cookie-cutter look to it. We want this to be individual for each site per your recommendation, but you're asking us if we want to have the logo and the name City of Atascadero or one or the other or both. And a question regarding the signs. Once the sign is proposed for an area, does it become part of a review process? Does it go to the Parks and Rec, or does it come directly to the City Council, or does staff go ahead with it?
These types of signs would first go to our planning department and be reviewed by our planning staff, just as any other sign in the city would, say, on private property. Then that, if it's on a public facility like this, it would go to the Parks and Recreation Commission, and they would review it as well.
Okay, so it just goes to Parks and Rec and not to the City Council, correct?
Correct.
Okay, very good. If there's no other questions, I'd like to open this. Did you have a question, Councilmember Clay? No. I'd like to open it to the public for their questions or suggestions.
Good evening, council members. I'm Ann Hatch. I'm the secretary for the Atascadero Veterans Memorial Foundation. And I wanted to thank Councilman Clay for his review of a little bit of the history on the memorial. In 2006, my husband, Colonel Bill Hatch, was approached by you. Had also asked that he be considered for the position of chairman, that you both nominated him at that meeting, because the progress on the project wasn't going anywhere up until that time. So Bill was very happy to help out.
I can't agree with you on that part of it.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I know. We were progressing, but we just thought the addition of your husband and yourself, as far as that goes, was a positive thing.
Okay, but, well, I appreciate that.
We were getting there.
Okay, all righty. A couple of things about the sign design. The sign design was designed actually between Maurice Wagner, who is a commercial artist and sign designer, and Mark Greenaway, the artist of record on the statue and the Faces of Freedom. One of the things that I wanted to mention to the council was we had, when we first started the project back in 2006, and we were considering names for the memorial. Atascadero Veterans Memorial was the initial name that was used. What we found very quickly is that we couldn't raise funds when we only reached as far as the city limits. And so we decided that the best way maybe to raise the money to build the memorial was to reach into the entire county. Consequently, the memorial became a county memorial in the sense of it recognized all the veterans of San Luis Obispo County. There's over 230 names on those granite walls. Having said that, one of the things that we've tried to be very careful of is not to seem exclusive to the point that we seemed this is only us, this is only Atascadero, which was why we dropped the name Atascadero Veterans Memorial, and it went to the Central Coast Veterans Memorial and then further morphed into the Faces of Freedom so that there was no delineation. Many of you have heard the saying, a camel is a horse designed by a committee. I think one of the things that we have tried to do from the very beginning is to make sure that whatever the designs are that come out of the Veterans Memorial Foundation, a great deal of thought is put into them, not only from a sense of information, what are we trying to transmit, but also the beauty of what it is. It is a reflection. I think probably what Brady said in that the signage should, he hopes to reflect the characteristics of whatever it is the sign represents as being very important. And we, for the city of Atascadero, should necessarily be on every sign. I think the committee's hopes is that the seal would be on the larger park sign that would be down towards the main entrance, not necessarily on this particular sign. I have to agree with many people that who mentioned that it looked a little bit like it was a hat set on the top. It becomes clutter. It becomes less informational and more just, did everybody get credit who was supposed to get credit? And so we just want to be very careful of that. You'll notice if you go to Washington, D.C., it doesn't say Vietnam Veterans Memorial, Washington, District of Columbia. It doesn't say that. If you go to the World War II Memorial, it doesn't say World War II Veterans Memorial, City of Washington, D.C. It doesn't say that. We are larger than that. This is a million-dollar memorial that was gifted to the city and the people of the county. And we hope to remain inclusive and not exclusive. We want to build a bigger tent, not a smaller tent. So I would hope that the council would look at things and say them on an individual basis, what's in the best interest of a project, not necessarily does it fit the cookie-cutter policy that we may have set. So I look for your wisdom and your decisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Hatch.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the City Council. My name is Len Colomarino. I'm an Atascadero resident. I just want to address the point that was brought up about having some consistent appearance in these different signs around the city. And I would like to endorse that idea. I think that's an important thing, partly for the branding of the city. I mean, I've seen this in other cities where a public facility owned by these particular cities has a sign that catches your eye and it's distinctive. And every time you see that sign, you know that this is one of the city's public facilities. And it can help, I think, to provide some branding for the city. Now, that's not to say that all the signage is going to be identical, but rather that there would be something about all of the signage that catches the eye and gives you the city brand, and you know it. That I want to raise the question of a practical need to identify what's in the Lake Park complex. I mean, that is a complex at this point. There are a bunch of things there. And it might be good to have a functional sign there that says zoo in that direction, memorial in that direction, Alvord Park in that direction. And so somebody coming to that intersection knows where to go to get to the part of the complex that they need to go to. And then this very attractive sign might be more appropriately placed at the particular entrance on Portola where you come to the memorial and actually try to spruce that entrance up a little bit to add a little grandness to the arrival to that memorial. Anyway, those are the points I want to raise for consideration for what they're worth. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Colomarino.
Madam Mayor, members of the City Council, my neighbors. My name is Chuck Ward. I live in Atascadero. I'm a Marine Corps veteran and a former member of the board of the Atascadero Veterans Memorial Foundation. And I have a few comments to make. First of all, many of us think that this memorial is so unique, not just to this city or this county, but this whole region, that the signage out front has to be in harmony with the memorial. This is not a billboard. This is not the zoos behind it, the baseball fields there. And by the way, you can go around the corner and find a memorial. Mark Greenaway has designed a beautiful sign that's in conformity with the memorial, but also it's, you know, to use a word, it's very classy. It reflects that this is, in fact, a world-class monument. In keeping with that, I think it should be a standalone sign. We should not confuse it with directional signs to the zoo or the baseball field. Secondly, I'm sympathetic to Jerry's argument, and he and I have talked about this, that city in a cementitious material and balance it on the other side with a similar size sign, crest of the United States with the eagle and the stars around it, similar to the crest that we have by the American flagpole. And in so doing, we identify it and brand it for the city, but it doesn't, you know, get in the way of the real meaning here. Finally, I would suggest when this sign is put up that it be illuminated and timed with the memorial, because the memorial at night is truly magic, and there's thousands of people to see it. I think this should be approved as soon as possible, and the city should give a green light to this and get Mark working on that wonderful, wonderful sign.
Thank you, Mr. Ward.
Okay. I have a question for Mr. Ward.
Question for you, Mr. Ward. Question.
I know we're working on having this be incorporated into the Purple Heart Trail, and I'm wondering if that has a logo of it of its own that would be incorporated anywhere around this.
Well, good question. Tim Haley and I, who's really the quarterback on the Purple Heart Trail, working with Tim on it, we have a second follow-up meeting with Caltrans, the top three-tier echelon for this region, this Thursday. And we're going to try to define where the Purple Heart Trail signage is going to be placed. What we're pushing for, at least in this part of a 60-mile route of the Purple Heart Trail, that there be a Purple Heart Trail sign put just north of and south of the 41 on and off ramp. Now, in terms of designating a specific military venue, a museum, a monument like this, we sort of ran into a little bit of a stone wall with Caltrans because it's not specifically spelled out in their manuals. So it's our feeling that after the Purple Heart Trail signs get up, we're going to have enough money left over. And by the way, we're going to raise that money publicly to have a Purple Heart Trail brochure. And one of the centerfolds of that is going to be this wonderful Faces of Freedom. And as part of that, we hope that the city can go 55 miles stretch of the Purple Heart Trail. This is really the center focus of that, and I think it's going to be a wonderful thing to direct traffic here.
Go ahead, Councilmember Clay. Yeah,
in regards to, as I recall, you chairman a fundraiser specifically for this sign out at the lake a few months back. Is that not right, Chuck?
Pardon?
You chaired a fundraiser specifically for the sign a few months ago, as I recall.
Yes, yeah. The motorcycle poker run, yeah, and right. Immediately before it and afterwards, we made a strong pitch that the funds would be used for that. There was a little concern that we're just going to, you know, go into a bank. Yeah, sure. And there was a lot of enthusiasm to fund this. So a lot of people have contributed, expect to see the sign up.
Was it a successful fundraiser?
Yes, it was. Well, considering it was less than what I had hoped, but considering the economy, mm-hmm. I think it was, yes. Yeah,
thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening again, Mayor and Council. Bruce Bevins, Rialto Avenue in Atascadero. And I'm a veteran myself, carried more than one brick for this memorial, and I'm very proud of it. And I like the elegant simplicity of the sign that we have here. And I would like to see it stay that way. I don't see any objection to having a city crest associated with it, but, you know, maybe not a hat on top. Two issues are echoing around here, and I'd just like to comment on them. The first is, obviously, should city facilities in general be branded? And I think I agree with that in general. Perhaps an exception might be warranted in a case like this, although I don't know that it's necessary. But in general, I think, yeah, it's a good idea. Paloma Park should have a city brand on it, et cetera. The other thing is the wayfinding issue. And as a driver, I think coming to this area where I'd be most helped by having the wayfinding or the signage would be in approaching that intersection, not on the corner of the intersection. So, I mean, typically, if you're looking for a freeway entrance or you're looking for, you know, where's the airport or the train station, you're looking for some signage down the road a little bit as you're approaching it that's saying, you know, coming up is, you know, on your left is going to be whatever, you know, a sign of something of that nature. Now, I understand, of course, 41 is a...
Mark Greenaway, and I've been encouraged to say something, so I'm going to. So good evening to everybody. Thank you for all the comments on the sign. My wife and I, Ann Hatch, got together originally with the drawing, and then Maurice Wagner got a hold of it, and he's the one that made it elegant. Okay, so thanks to Maurice. I appreciate what he did. The sign with that hat or whatever, my wife showed it to me today on the computer, you know, and my first thought was, not a hat, but I had real strong feelings just as far as it didn't work because it splits your eye. When you do that, your eye doesn't know what to look at, and you get frustrated. It cluttered it really bad. It doesn't work. I understand ownership of the city wanting it and the seal. Really love our bridge. It's right here with the seal. I didn't notice the seal. I'd say the first two, three times driving over that bridge. Then I started to notice the seal. Seal's beautiful. I think the treatment on both sides of that sign with the pillar with the rocks, but a concrete, same kind of signage there, that round, would blend really nice with the rocks, and it would show ownership to the city, but it doesn't become an eye chart where your eyes just, it's frustrating. You don't want that to be frustrating. There's the seal right there. I think it's just a real good kind of a halfway medium that's it still keeps it elegant.
I have a question.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Mark, you're suggesting the cement seal like we had on the on the bridge
is, really
and have one on each corner to balance it. Is that
on both sides of the granite?
Right.
And just like Brady, it's been brought up a couple times, but maybe make larger a little bit larger pillars on both sides of that. Not as large, you know, the seal that's on the bridge, I wouldn't think that large is needed, be way too much, but the treatment with the rocks around it would be really, it would just be a great asset to the sign.
Thank you, Mark.
Any other questions for Mr. Greenaway?
It's just my opinion.
Thank you, Mark.
Hello again, Steve Martin. And since you have me working on your tourism marketing, I thought I should put my 2 cents worth in here. Your tourism marketing plan stresses very strongly that one of the big components of the plan is in branding. And branding has several things that make it work. And one is consistency. As I look around at the signs in Atascadero, I think as you've seen the presentation, telling people what facility they're coming to. But also you need some interior signage in the lake park saying, as one person said, the monument is this way and the zoo is this way, et cetera. So consistency of art in your logo is really important. Consistency of text, I think you need to have the same font wherever you use your city logo, and it should be scaled appropriately to the artwork. And the entire logo itself can be scaled differently depending on what it's being placed on. It doesn't always have to be the dominant characteristic of the sign. But I think for consistency in branding, it does need to be on every city project, every city edifice. The branding of the city of Atascadero is very important for the marketing program for tourism. All other considerations aside for the veterans. I know this may be a special case and you want to handle that separately. But for all of the other signs in the city, I think you really need to think strongly about bringing that consistency to your brand. Not just for the people who come here to Atascadero, but also for the ones that will see our print ads. I just finished printing, placing several print ads in travel directories using Colony of Atascadero, because that's the artwork we've had to use with that. Is that the artwork we want to continue with? I'm not sure. We need to decide if that's going to be the way we're going to go in the future. Also in these ads, we have a bevy of photographs of all the things that make Atascadero so nice, and we think people would use those as reasons to come here. And each one of those ads contains a photograph of the Veterans Memorial, because since the beginning, one of the benefits of the Veterans Memorial has been touted as being a possible tourist attraction. So in summary, I think that you need to take that recommendation from your marketing study, your tourism marketing study about branding, needs to be taken seriously and should be applied citywide. And if you're going to make a special case for the veterans, so be it. But for everything else, I think we really need to nail that down. The same artwork, the same verbiage. Are we a city? Are we a colony? What are we? And also scaling those logos in proportion to the different buildings and edifices they'll be on.
One moment. Question from Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. And I did want to put you on the spot and ask you your opinion because you brought up a good point. Sometimes we're saying city of, sometimes we're saying colony of in the recent signage. So
right.
There may even be other options out there. Do you think we need to give that some thought, or do you have an opinion about city of, colony of, or central coast?
Well, I think we definitely need to give it some thought. Either one works. We just have to pick one and go with it. I think the branding for tourism, one of the things that your marketing study brought up was
that's very important for the consistency. But you think an exception would be in order, because I think, aren't we trying to market the historic colony district of Atascadero? Would we want to make a separation in there? Or
I see that as being wayfinding signage. That's like a sub-brand. You've already have some signs up that say that. Main Street has been using the term historic colony district for some time now, so I think that that's sort of a separate animal altogether. But for the city itself, you need to have that consistency.
Okay. I have a question for you as well. You mentioned the importance of wayfinding. So from your perspective, is a wayfinding sign needed at the corner of 41 and Portola, or is that the appropriate location or not?
Tough question. I understand both sides of the question, and your solution here may be a composite one, as was suggested by Mark. But I do feel, just from a marketing point of view, that Atascadero needs to have its imprint on the facilities within the city. I know that in early conversations with the veterans, I was a part of that very early on, there was a very strong feeling among the veterans group that the people honored on this memorial should be, if not past residents of Atascadero, should at least be closely associated with Atascadero. That's obviously been broadened to increase the appeal and support for the monument, and I think that was a wise move. But I think from the beginning, our veterans were very proud of being a part of Atascadero, and I think Atascadero is no less proud of its veterans. So it seems strange to me they wouldn't want to be on a sign together.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Maurice Wagner. I'm a resident of Atascadero, and I've been blamed or honored with the sign. As a designer, I just wanted to clarify one thing that seems to be not really clear yet. Wayfinding and monument. When you're in a wayfinding situation, you're moving along a street, visibility, communication of the letters, clarity of the letters, easily read letters are very, very important. When it comes to a monument sign, you're standing right in front of the sign. You are already there. This sign is a monument sign. People who are already arriving at the memorial, they have seen brochures, they have seen signs on the freeway, and they're anticipating arriving at this memorial or at the park, cluttered with all sorts of leaves and things. The name, that sign, the name has a outline around the letters. As a sign painter, when you put an outline around a letter, you actually blur the letter for a distance read. For close read or for a brochure, it looks lovely, but on a distance, if you take a a letter and put an outline around it, you actually blur it, so you can't even read it. So visibility of the letters drops when you put outlines around. And what you're trying to compensate for there is the same darkness of background as darkness of letter. So we needed to have, on this sign, if I was criticizing, I would say the background needs to be light, the letters need to be dark, or vice versa. We need to have white letters on a dark background, or it doesn't really matter what color it is so much as there's a contrast for visibility, for legibility, I should say. So that's, as I was designing the sign for the memorial, was trying to create a very elegant sign that reflected the solemnity and the honor of the memorial. As you approach this particular intersection, if you look just to the left, you've put a very large sign on Alvord Field. It's very visible from that corner, so people will know where Alvord Field is. You don't need a directional sign for Alvord Field. People will probably continue on down the road. They'll find the zoo. When they're looking at the memorial corner, they're anticipating a very solemn, beautiful place where honor can be brought to the veterans. And the Veterans Memorial is also, the Memorial Association has also created a website where our design there is to bring people from the United States to Atascadero with links not only to Atascadero but to the Purple Heart Highway trail, the Purple Heart Trail, and other ways of linking and marketing this site to the world. This is going to be someplace, hopefully in the next years, where people from everywhere will come to Atascadero to honor our veterans, not only that are from our county, but from everywhere. So,
Councilmember Clay.
Yeah. When I came here tonight, I had preconceived the idea with the logo on top in the city of Atascadero. I don't know whether you got that there, Brady, but I have a lot of respect for Mark Greenaway, and I think he made a lot of good sense when he stood up and said that we could, have the cement city logos on each side, and I think that would be a real good idea, and I could support that. And then, over the, I guess I'm going to say years now, I've supported the Veterans Memorial, and every time I got a chance to compliment the people that worked on it, and I want to say that again today. Ann and I have a little different perception on how it all come down. The fundraising, in my opinion, 90% of the funds raised were from Atascadero. The people that worked on it, 90% of the people that worked so hard on it were from Atascadero. And I was so pleased when the National Guard and the veterans and the Marine Corps come together and kind of took this over, and old duffers like myself was able to step back and just let them have at it. And it just kept growing and growing and getting better and better. And certainly Bill Hatch gave us some great leadership at that time. But what we ended up with was a memorial that's doesn't take a backseat to any memorial in the United States. But I would support the sign the way it is here with the city logo. The city's important to me also.
Okay, I think that we want to establish a policy that's an overall policy for the city. If you're talking about making an exception,
that's
we need
to
make
about.
That clear.
Yeah, I think that we should deal with this sign first and then go from there.
Let's make the policy and then do the exception. So is there some consensus regarding signage and branding in general? And we'll go down to the Veterans Memorial sign last.
Go ahead, sir.
Councilmember Barreau.
Well, I think there was a good point made that wayfinding signs are different than monument signs, but I think all city facilities should have at least the logo or the emblem, whichever way you want to say it. And I would like to see City of Atascadero. I think we can always make exceptions for this one tonight. I think some of the suggestions were good ones, but I think branding is important. So I think we need to have the logo and the city's name on it.
So are you saying that you think we need to separate this out and come back with similar fonts, which was Menschel sign, as it is with some modifications, and then bring this back later with a conformity of signage?
Well, I was talking about conformity of signage because I thought that's what you wanted to talk about first.
Well, we can look at this several ways. So yeah. I'm trying to make this very clear for staff and make sure that we understand what we're all addressing.
Roberta, I think we'd be better if we dealt with the Veterans Memorial sign. There's people here waiting, and then went for the other one. This is my personal opinion.
Okay.
I don't know about
this. Let's do that. Let's take it and pick it into two pieces, and let's talk about Veterans Memorial. Go ahead, Mr. Kelly.
Okay. I think the Veterans Memorial sign should be an animal of its own and treated as a monument sign. When I was 13 years old, I was lucky enough to be in Washington, D.C., spent quite a few hours in the Arlington Cemetery looking at all the large monuments that they had there. And at the time, in my age, I was really impressed by the size of them. Although as I grew older, I reflected on what they really, really mean. And that is true with the Atascadero Faces for Freedom. I think, like Mr. Ward said, at night, it's absolutely beautiful. You know, on occasion I find myself stopping and just looking at it and remembering what that really means to all of us in the United States. And therefore, I think the sign should be treated on its own. I came here tonight kind of like Jerry, thinking of maybe something on the top, but after listening to everybody tonight, I almost agreed with what everybody had to say. And I think putting the logos on the side would be a real acceptable deal. Although I would like to leave it open to Chuck's idea, if we get the Purple Heart Highway, that might be an identifier for the sign and the memorial also. But as the mechanical configuration of the sign, I would like to see the pillars on the sign with some type of local identification on them and illuminated too.
That was going to say, yeah, great.
Do we have
great,
a motion for that?
Well, I haven't.
Okay, go ahead, Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. Well, I agree. I think we need to separate these out. I don't think we're ready to do a policy yet. I thought it was a very important discussion tonight, and I do want to say again, we really appreciate the veterans and everyone that's worked hard on this. It is a world-class memorial, and tonight we want to see how to earmark that or how to set that off and draw attention to it. We're talking about signage. I like the idea of having a policy, but I don't think we're ready to decide if it's City of Atascadero, Colony of Atascadero, Historic Atascadero, having it in either column. So let me attempt a motion, if I may.
Go ahead.
And we'll direct staff to come back with a citywide policy on signage, and we would ask Steve Martin to take a lead on that to make some recommendations. And as for the Veterans Memorial, we agree we would like to have a logo on one or
both sides
of both sides. The monument, and if let's say Mark Greenaway or the veterans come up with a recommendation to replace one of those logos with something else, I think we could entertain that. Mm-hmm. But we'd have a logo on either side and it would be lighted.
Tom, could we make two motions, one just for the monument
side?
Yeah.
Separate out the direction on the policy, and let's just take the...
So, Tom, the motion is that...
The motion is that we make an exception for the Veterans Memorial sign and direct staff to place a logo on one or
both sides.
With the working with the artist to make this compatible.
Yeah. I could second both sides. I don't know about. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll second both sides.
I'm suggesting both sides with the city logo, unless something is brought forward that might be more appropriate.
Okay, the motion is for both sides, unless something else is brought forward that's acceptable.
I'll second that.
Well, I'm actually willing to second his original one of having either one or two, because I think if we do have an opportunity to, you know, put the Purple Heart emblems. Or if they want to have more of a universal military one on the other side, I'm comfortable with that.
Just to show you how wishy-washy I am, I'll support that, okay?
Okay, so we have a motion from Councilmember O'Malley and second by Councilmember Kelly. Roll call vote, please.
And now this is just on the Vets Memorial, right?
Correct.
Okay, and the second was
Kelly.
Councilmember Kelly. Okay. Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
And do we want to address the overall sign policy with direction to staff at this point in time?
I'd like to make a comment on that.
Go ahead, Councilmember.
I would like to emphasize that we have consistency with the design and the verbiage and the lettering. So when you do come back to us, it's more refined into that area.
Do we need a motion or just consensus?
I think we can just give comments
and
directions.
Absolutely.
But I think we may have a wayfinding signage versus monument signage, mm-hmm. different policies.
Okay. Well, I personally would like to see the word Atascadero on there somewhere as well.
I love that word.
Yeah,
and it could be City of Atascadero, it could be just plain Atascadero, or Atascadero with an apostrophe S like Atascadero's Charles Paddock Zoo. Any of those would be acceptable.
Roberta, you know what Atascadero means? It means the land of bubbling brooks.
That's a new one for me. Okay.
The logo on my shirt has Atascadero on it, and I think I would agree we want to have the word Atascadero incorporated, whether we want to do colony, city. Personally, I think city doesn't have that much character.
I agree. Okay. Is that enough direction for staff?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. And why don't we take a 5-minute break? Let's come back at 8:07. Thank you.
ECHO, or the El Camino Homeless Association organization, I almost forgot what it was stood for, is here to also answer some questions after the video. It's about a 4 or 5 minute video that was produced with the help of students at Cal Poly. So they put a lot of it together, and also shares some numbers from the enumeration study that was done in 2009. And so the enumeration study, what that means is that they take a count, and so like every fifth person they see that's homeless, they interview them and try to get data from them. And so the numbers have gone up significantly since 2006, as you might expect with the economy. And I think what's important about this video is that it really shows that the people we think are homeless, there's a lot more people out there who are, who we just don't realize it. And it's a very touching video. So I hope you enjoy it and get some information from it.
Thank you for sharing that.
Edged by the Pacific Ocean to the west, and encompassing miles of vineyards, sand dunes, and rolling countryside, San Luis Obispo County is by all counts a beautiful place to live. Travelers from around the world come to the Central Coast to marvel at man-made treasures and journey scenic roadways that traverse pristine vistas. The 8 incorporated towns and cities each have a unique character that charms both residents and visitors alike. Amidst such natural beauty, it is easy to believe that unlike other areas of the state, there is ample abundance for all. However, throughout the county, there are people living in poverty, and among these, there are those without homes. The portrait that emerges is one that has many faces. There are the women. There are the children. There are the seniors. There are the working poor and the victims of domestic violence. No single image captures the complete reality. No single chapter tells the whole story. No one solution will assist everyone. We must come together as a community to create the solutions. If everyone volunteered to staff a shelter or cook a meal, if each of us put aside a few dollars for those without any, if everyone was willing to assist in building the path home for all, things could be different. What will you do?
So as you can see, it is a very touching video, and I do serve for the City of Atascadero on the Homeless Services Oversight Council, and one of the things that's coming up is the census that will be done in March, at the end of March, and it's going to be very important for us, again, to account for everyone in our community, even the homeless, and even though they've been demonized, you can see that they really do have needs, and they are really an integral part of what makes our community our community. Part of our charge on the Oversight Council is a 10-year plan to end homelessness. And part of that is coordination of all the different services we have, you know, for substance abuse or mental illness or all the different reasons that people become homeless. And so there'll be future things coming down on a county level. The homeless that live in the creek, uh-huh. or, you know, sometimes you don't hear it all the time,
yeah.
but there is some derogatory, language that you hear yeah. about the homeless.
I understand.
And
yeah.
I know working at the homeless shelter, I did that when I was on the Planning Commission. I did spend a night there, mm-hmm. and I was thinking to myself, you know, it'd be great to have my kids and help the shelter, and then they told me about the policy that they don't want children there, and I said, well, that's silly. We want to educate our children about the needs of our society, and they said, well, that we have so many children, and you saw that one of the data figures there is that 35% of the homeless are children,
yeah.
and they go to all our schools, and they don't want to be seen by their peers at school.
Yeah.
So there's some things that, you know, we can learn.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think everybody has spent a night there. I don't know. Have you, Bob? You're next, Bob.
Go ahead.
Well, members of the City Council. I'm here tonight. Councilman Burrow asked me to come and answer questions, tell you a little bit about what we do at ECHO. I think, as you all stated just now, most of you, if not all of you, have been at our shelter, have worked at our shelter, have served dinner, have spent the night as overnight volunteers. I think one of the things that I find most impressive about the city of Atascadero and the fact that we are able to provide shelter for the homeless and hungry in this city for the small amount of money that we do is because of the support of the City Council and the support of all of the organizations in this town. I was thinking about it today before I came here, and I realized that I think that's one of the things I love about Atascadero and love about living here, is that we don't demonize the homeless in our community. We dig in our pockets and see what we can do to help them. Several years ago, we had a cold snap where it was snowed or it was well below freezing, and we didn't know what to do at the shelter because we only have 30 beds, and we're limited, so we're definitely limited on what we can provide. And we went out on the air and said that we were going to provide a warming center, a place for people that did not maybe qualify for the shelter that night, but could at least come in out of the cold. We were inundated by the people in this community with sleeping bags and food and jackets and anything you can think of, and it was within hours of that announcement going out. One of the things that I found most disturbing in the least 30 to 31 persons, often 35 to 36 if we have children because we put them in, double bed them, and we're turning people away. So there's definitely a growing need. Part of the problem is the fact that there is no shelter in Paso Robles. We serve all of North County. They have a food facility there, but they do not have an overnight facility. So it's just going to grow, I'm afraid. And right now, we're doing very well. ECHO right now, I saw the statistics today, we shelter people for just a little over $5 a day. That's the cost of shelter and food per person. And the other shelters in the county are upwards of $20 per person. But that's going to grow because we need more room.
So, thank you so much for sharing. A couple questions. Councilmember Clay.
What I'm hearing is you're feeding about 45 a night.
Probably 60 a night.
60
and
a night.
We've had 70.
Yeah, right. You know, you folks are amazing. I mean, this is 365 days out of the year. Correct. It's there's no relief. There's, you know, there's not a day off. And I'm amazed at what you do and with the amount of money that you get and the attitude that that you folks have. You know, I mean, I've only went to one board meeting, so to speak, but I mean, everybody was so upbeat, and I just can't tell you how much I thank you for what you're doing.
It's wonderful. And our board meetings are the second Thursday of each month at 7 p.m., and you're more than welcome to attend.
Right.
Thank you. We'll just go on down the line. Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. Well, as you know, being retired as the administrator for County Mental Health, we worked a lot on homeless programs, and I worked a lot on the financing for programs and statewide, had an opportunity to see a lot of programs in place, and I've just so impressed with our own ECHO because, again, in the video they talked about if everyone would help staff a shelter, if everyone helped cook a meal. I think every community organization we have is involved with ECHO. Every church that I know of, Kiwanis, every organization I know of takes a turn serving a meal. We've all volunteered to spend the night. And I think it means a lot to our community that it's a community solution. I would run into folks just out at a business. Someone would come up to me and say, you know, just thank you. I saw you at the Kiwanis or at a night, and they'd kind of gotten back on their feet after maybe a number of months. And And they're just so impressed that folks from our community, these are not paid government employees, these are volunteers from our community, are really giving. And I think everyone here has been involved, and I think that means a lot to folks, and part of why it's so successful. But I do want to comment, as far as I know, I think we have the lowest folks make it out there. Could you share a little bit about ECHO's vision of where we might be going?
I'd be happy to. Our vision is establishing a campus-type facility that would provide not only housing, probably a day center, which is sorely needed right now. People at the shelter don't have anywhere to go during the day. And maybe even a detox center. It would be a place where people could meet for the services that they need. We partner as much as we can with the other county organizations, CHC, the county health, CAPSLO, mental health, all of those organizations. But what's difficult is finding a place for our clients to meet with their case managers. Case management has been cut drastically in this county this last year. We're down to, I believe it's one or two case managers in North County right at the moment, which does not serve, can't serve the need that's there. We are in the process at ECHO of establishing our own case management service. We're about to hire someone that will be a case manager for ECHO. That person's direct responsibility will be to assist our clients in finding medical need, filling their medical needs, finding housing, working with veterans associations, and that sort of thing. Our dream is to have a big facility where we could do all of that in one place and where all the needs of the homeless and needy would be met at one time.
Well, last question. I just finished my term on the board there, and we were working on finding a location. It is a responsibility in state law for each city to identify a location where something like this could occur. When are you going to be coming to us and saying you found a spot that's going to work for campus? Are we have any leads? Do we still have a committee working on that?
There's a committee working on it. I have not heard in the last 2 weeks what they have been able to do, but there's a committee that's looking into finding a facility, either an existing facility here that could be remodeled or rehabilitated into this type of facility that we need, or I don't think we're in a position where we could build something, but hopefully we can find a facility, a building that we could use and that could be turned into what we're looking at.
Okay. Well, again, thank you guys for your service.
And thank you.
Councilmember Kelly?
Well, I think Tom and Jerry have really covered what a fantastic program that you do have and spend some time and push that and try to get you some additional funds. But once again, thank you. Job well done.
Thank you.
Councilmember Bureau? No? Okay. I'll wrap up then. I think we all appreciate what you do. ECHO is just an extraordinary organization. And if someone is not plugged in with a charitable organization, is there some way that they could contact you or help
they,
in
they certainly
way?
Can. They can contact the shelter. Our phone number is 462-FOOD. I think it's 462-3663. There's an answering machine there, and the messages are checked every night. There are several different people. We have one person, Terry Sherwin, who's in charge of the food part. We have someone else that's in charge of scheduling the overnight volunteers. That's Patty Stewart. And any message that's left at the shelter, that information will be passed on to the correct
Great.
Person.
Thank you so much.
I just have
Thank
one question. You. Do Go you ahead. Take clothing contributions?
We don't take clothing, and it's primarily because of a storage problem. We just don't have that much room at the facility. What we do is if you take it to one of the local thrift stores, they will and say that you're donating it for ECHO, they will give our clients vouchers so that they can go in and pick out what they need. About the only clothing that we accept is coats in the winter and socks all year long. They're a desperate need for socks.
Okay, very good. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay, let's bring it back to the council. Are there any other council announcements or reports? Council Member O'Malley.
Thank you. I just wanted to remind staff, when we had our discussion regarding the creeks, we decided we would have a committee, and each council member would appoint one person to that. I think we thought that was a good idea, so I'm waiting to hear when that might be going forward. And I wanted to announce I've appointed someone, Eric Gobler, who is a local engineer. He used to actually work with the Regional Water Board staff, and I think it was David Athey's boss at one time many years ago. So he is. You have one committee member ready to go, and when we get started on that.
Are you sure?
Actually, your action wasn't didn't the your final action wasn't to appoint a five-member committee.
I thought
we were
going
to try to make sure that we included as many community members as we could and figure out where the committee would go and how it would fit into our swamp and then come up with a committee.
Well, I was just too far down the road. Let's
go to committee reports. Go ahead.
I do have another announcement, and this is from the high school's revolutionary robotics team. And I work at the state hospital, and of course, there's lots of mom and dads there, so I get sidelined about a lot of city stuff when I'm there. So I'm just going to read something that Stan Wilt had typed up for me. The Atascadero High School robotics team, the Greyhound Revolutionary Robotics, was established in 2002 and is entering its ninth year of competition with FIRST, which stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. Is everybody familiar with the robotics team? You see them at a lot of community events. They're a really energetic group. On January 9th, FIRST kicked off the new season by releasing the animation introducing Breakaway, so that's their new robot, a soccer-like game which involves maneuvering over a 12-inch high by 12-inch wide bumps, scoring balls in a soccer goal, and finishing with lifting the robot up on a freestanding tower. GRR, which is Greyhound Revolutionary Robotics, has 6 weeks to design and build our robot to accomplish the game task. We will be building two identical robots, and the competition robot is shipped at the end of the build season to our first regional competition in San Jose. The remaining robot will be used to practice this game. And here comes the need. The team needs a space ideally measured 27 feet by 54 feet, but a slightly smaller size could be acceptable. Of course, he asked me if we have something in the city. I'm like, I can't think of anything. And so I know there's a lot of empty space in our town, so this is why I'm making the announcement. So they need this space to set up bumps, soccer balls, and a tower so the operators can perfect their skills. Last year was the first time that GRR built two robots, and the ability to practice with the second robot before our competition in Los Angeles no doubt contributed to our winning our first regional competition, which thus allowed us to participate at the first championships, which we competed in the semifinals in our division against 84 of the best teams in the world. So that's pretty amazing. So if you have any location which the team could use for February, March, and April, please contact. This is Adam Hurd. He's got a very long phone number, 424-212-1363 to discuss your space. So hopefully someone out there has some space that they're not needing. And the
Pro Tem O'Malley?
No report.
Council Member Barreau?
No report.
Council Member Clay?
The usual, no report.
And Council Member Kelly?
Ditto, no report.
Okay. Individual determinations or actions. Are there anything that we need to know about? Okay. Would you like to just give us a little brief update, Mr. McKinney, regarding strategic planning for the public?
The strategic planning event will be Saturday, beginning 8:30 in the morning, open to the public. We'll begin right at 8:30. We'll have a public comment period right in the beginning. It'll be right here with round tables like it was last year. We invite people to come in and see what the council's doing, and hopefully we'll answer a lot of questions and get off to another good start.
Could you explain for the public what strategic planning is?
This strategic planning, we've been working for several council meetings to analyze what our environment is, look at our financial structure and where we are, what assumptions we have made with our budget, where our labor status is, what our mission is, and on Saturday we'll be wrapping up the final section, which will be to look at what goals will be the priority for the remainder of this two-year cycle that we're in. So on Saturday, we'll be concentrating really on three purposes. One, to clarify our goals and action plans, what success looks like in our goals. Two, to continue to build the strength of the council working group. And three, to develop and continue to build the strength of the council and department head working group to make sure that we can conquer all these goals and what it is the council would actually like to put together.
And what will be the hours of attendance?
We'll start at 8:30, and we'll go to sometime in the early afternoon.
Thank you. With that, meeting adjourned.
Excuse me, Madam Mayor. We're going to be adjourning
to closed session. Okay, back to closed session. Excuse me. Right. I knew better than that. Okay. We are adjourning to closed session.
And the closed session will be the pending litigation that I mentioned earlier.